Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Coming up later in the hour, we hear the Grammy-nominated vocal ensemble Skylark and some of their favorite holiday pieces. We also talk about the teachings of Holocaust survivor and activist Elie Wiesel with a rabbi who was his teaching assistant at Boston University. But first, if you visit Nantucket today, it's hard to imagine the island ever suffered economic hardship. Real estate prices are some of the most expensive in the country, and the tourism industry caters to the well-to-do. But that hasn't always been the case. The island has undergone multiple transformations since humans first settled there, periods of prosperity followed by economic hardship. Much has been written about Nantucket's whaling history and the period of decline that followed, but a new book gives us a different perspective on how that transformation impacted the residents of the island. Everett Crosby is Emeritus Professor of History and Chairman of the Medieval Studies Program at the University of Virginia. His new book is titled The Making of Nantucket Family Lives and Fortunes in the 19th Century. Professor Crosby joins us from his home in Charlottesville. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. Yes.
Now, despite your academic background in medieval studies and your residency in Virginia, your family has a long history with Nantucket. When did you first start coming to the island?
Well, I came rather early when I was 2 years old, and my family had come for many years as summer residents and then eventually as year-round residents. And the trips to Nantucket, I think, go back to the end of the 19th century.
Mm. Nantucket has changed significantly over the decades that you've spent there. So what strikes you most about how the island has transformed?
Well, the great transformation, of course, is the tourist industry that picked up in the 20th century and then picked up in incredibly different ways, in numbers, in the number of buildings, in the cost of living after the Second World War. So now it's really an international center, I think, of summer resort people that want to come from all places, spend some weeks or months on the island.
Nantucket has undergone several periods of prosperity followed by economic hardship since humans took up residence. What were some of the questions about the island's 19th century transformations that you hope to answer as you started looking more deeply into the history of the island?
Well, I first was attracted to the question of why the whaling industry folded, and then how the Nantucketers managed to reinvent themselves as a summer resort. So that was the principal question that I had in mind when I started my research on the book, to show through the lives of several family members how this transformation took place.
Your book centers on Captain Matthew Crosby. So who was he, and what about his life and circumstances compelled you to focus on him?
Well, I was looking through the archives, as a historian does, at the Nantucket Historical Association, and there were a number of people who were engaged in the whaling industry in the late 18th and early 19th century. And among them was Matthew Crosby. In fact, there were quite a few references to the Crosby family, which obviously attracted me by the name, but he turned out to be a descendant in a different line, not my line. But nevertheless, an important figure in the town. And he was, first of all, a packet captain running a packet line from Nantucket to New York to supply the island with necessities. And then he became an investor in whaling ships and then an investor in other corporations like mining and banks, and insurance companies, and so on. So that he was really a leading citizen, and it struck me that it would be interesting to take up the way in which Nantucket moved from whaling to tourists through the eyes of a family, through Matthew Crosby's family and his friends and relations, to make a kind of biographical history which would bring the reader into the personal problems of a group of people.
Matthew Crosby was born in 1791, and his father was a seafarer, first on whaling ships and then later on packet ships. And you mentioned that Matthew himself became a captain of a packet ship. His foray into the packet trade was a financial success, despite having to operate during the War of 1812. Were you able to determine how the war impacted his business?
Well, yes. Actually, I turned up a manuscript in the archives that was a journal that he kept for several years when he was packeting during the War of 1812. And it's quite an amazing short history of the problems of running this service between Nantucket and New York during the British blockade. It's in some cases almost a daily record of his attempts to evade the privateers and the blockade and deliver his goods and passengers to New York and then back to Nantucket. Mm.
For listeners who are not familiar with the work of packet ships, maybe you can explain their function.
Well, the packet ship in this sense was simply a ship, usually a sloop or possibly a schooner that was manned by a very small crew and ran a scheduled run, in this case, from Nantucket to New York and stopped along the towns in Long Island Sound and carried a variety of goods, all kinds of foodstuffs and material and lumber and building supplies and even horses and mules at some points, and of course a few passengers that wanted to go along. So it was a vital link between Nantucket and the mainland, and I think Matthew was encouraged to keep at it during the blockade simply because it was a lifeline for the island. Mm.
The wealthy class of Nantucket businessmen built homes on the island, many of which are still standing today. How do the Crosby family homes compare to some of the other well-known families of that period? And was real estate considered an investment?
Oh, I think so, yes. In fact, as soon as they had set aside a certain sum from their whaling or from their packeting, they built a house. And the on Upper Main Street in Nantucket, there's a whole group of houses built with whaling money that are really quite elaborate for the period and are still standing and have become one of the great assets of the island. Mm.
Any young businessman needs capital. Fortunately, there were some Nantucket residents who amassed fortunes during the whaling years. Talk about the overlap between business and personal relationships on the island and how the life of Matthew Crosby gives us insight into this dynamic.
Well, you mean the relationship between different members of the family and the occupation of whaling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First of all, Nantucket in the Great Period, which is the period of the whaling fortunes, which runs from late 19th century, late 18th century into the early 19th century, and probably up to the middle of the 19th century, that meant that they were making generally a surplus out of the whaling. There were great losses, of course. It was whaling was always a kind of gamble, and some voyages came back with a lot of oil, and some came back with none. But Matthew and his friends were in a position to invest in a number of different vessels, so they sent them out at the same time, or very close one after the other, and therefore they had a number of whaling ships that would come back at least partly full and break even or make a profit. And in Matthew's case, he was quite lucky and did make a profit, first of all, in packeting, quite a substantial profit, and then even a greater profit in whaling. And Nantucket Nantucket at the time was managed by a very small group of families. And they were interrelated by marriage, many of them, and cooperated in the running of the town, so that it was very much a profit-making enterprise that depended on the work and astuteness of these particular families, and mainly the male members at the time.
We think of an island, especially one as far offshore as Nantucket, to be removed or insulated from some of the issues happening on the mainland. But your research shows that not to be the case. What were some of the significant political and social issues of that period that Nantucket residents were weighing in on?
Well, one of the first and much discussed was the question of neutrality during the War of 1812 in Matthew's time, whether to remain neutral or whether to support the patriotic cause. And Nantucket decided that they should remain neutral because they really couldn't afford to join the Patriots and to antagonize the British, because they depended on an open water route for their existence, and it was very precarious. So that the best solution seemed to be a declaration of neutrality. In fact, they entered into two of these with the British. They were serious in the sense that the British acknowledged the problems on Nantucket and agreed to treat them as neutrals, but they insisted that Nantucket no longer pay taxes to the colonial government, which was really a sign of estrangement from the American cause. So it was serious business. But nevertheless, they thought that this was really all the only option they had, and they took it up, and the British acknowledged it, and they maintained their lifeline.
The book is titled The Making of Nantucket, Family Lives and Fortunes in the 19th Century. We'll have a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. Everett Crosby, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Coming up after a break, lessons learned from Elie Wiesel.